This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The headline reads, Bill mandating gay history in schools goes to California governor. California Governor Jerry Brown has this bill sitting on his desk. He does not know whether he will sign it or not. His predecessor in the office there in California, former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, had vetoed a similar bill in 2006. What does this have to say, not only about what's coming on the horizon in California, but the broader agenda of those who would have homosexuality not only affirmed in the institutions of marriage and elsewhere, but also positively affirmed even in our public school system? Joining us to talk about this, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris, founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. What does this bill sitting on Jerry Brown's desk say about the broader agenda of homosexual activism?
Well, look, it's pretty obvious at this point that this is no longer anything like a live and let live movement. I mean, you know, people used to say, well, whatever they do in the privacy of their own homes is fine, and it's none of anybody's business. But the fact is that they're trying to commandeer the public schools to teach their issues in the public schools, and to do it in a way that parents aren't informed about it and that parents can't opt out of it. And so they want to really micromanage the classroom in order to demonstrate that they are, you know, in order to make them feel good about themselves. I really think that that's the motivating factor. But whatever their motive is, I mean, I think it's an outrage that in a state of California that's in a condition of bankruptcy, that legislatures should be spending any time at all on such a thing, that when the California public schools are among the worst in the nation, that the state legislature should be micromanaging and mandating the teaching of that gay is good in the classroom. I mean, it's ridiculous. Complete loss of any kind, anything like perspective.
Well, California law already requires that schools teach about the historical contributions of women, African Americans, Mexican Americans, Asian Americans, European Americans, American Indians, the labor movement, among other things. Why, in your mind, is the contribution of homosexual Americans, why shouldn't it be on the list?
Well, look, where does this list come from in any case? I mean, you know, by the time you're done with that list, you're just teaching the contributions of everyone, you know. So it's really what this is, what it started off as and what it continues to be, is one long exercise in identity politics. And I completely disagree with identity politics. It's divisive. And it's wrong, no matter who the identity group is here. You know, I mean, I don't want them going to teach Catholic history in the classroom. I don't want them to go teach Lutheran history in the classroom. I assume you don't either. But, you know, for crying out loud, if you're going to teach world history, you need to mention Martin Luther, Jesus Christ, and a few of the popes, you know, just to be an educated person. But the same is not true about the so-called contributions of gays and lesbians and gay and lesbian Americans or whatever they're talking about. You know, teach the history, teach what it is, teach what happened. Do not use every lesson as an opportunity to celebrate whatever group happens to be holding the reins of political power at the moment. And that's exactly what they are doing to the school curriculum in the state of California, Todd.
California Senator Mark Leno of San Francisco is the bill's author, and he says that he hopes that the governor will be signing this bill. He dismisses arguments that the bill promotes certain sexual behaviors. He says what it actually does is simply remove censorship from textbooks. I quote, bottom line is, it's only beneficial to share with students the broad diversity of the human experience and that our democracy protects everyone, end quote. Your response?
Well, you know, look, first of all, that's ridiculous because if you're going to remove the censorship, then how about when you teach about Harvey Milk and his wonderful contributions to the history of California, how about if we mention the fact that he once had a 16-year-old lover? That which would officially be that he is a pedophile, okay? That he had underage male lover. How about mentioning, if you're going to talk about Harry Hay, who's considered one of the great forefathers of the gay rights movement, that he had underage lovers. If you're going to talk about Oscar Wilde, let's talk about the number of underage boys that he had sex with. So if you're going to end censorship, well, let's start with that particular piece of censorship, or let's include those particular facts. But the other thing is that the people who have genuine contributions, the people that are often cited as gays who made great contributions, and I don't even know if these people are, if it's true, okay, so they'll sometimes say Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci or something like that. I don't know whether those people were in fact gay, but if they were, it meant something quite different then than it means today. Michelangelo and Leonardo did not spend their entire lives focusing on the fact that they were gay. They were creating great art. They were focused on what they were doing. They were not celebrating their homosexuality. Their homosexuality was a sideline at the very best. And if anything, a lot of you look at the list of the people that are sometimes celebrated as openly gay, if they're not political activists of the last century, which a lot of them are, but if they aren't that, they're people who were largely or often slightly closeted, right? In other words, they were not out marching in the street about homosexual rights. They were just doing whatever it was that they were doing. And so if anything, you could say, this is a case for people being focused on whatever their academic or intellectual or artistic passions might be, rather than focusing on their sexual passions, whatever those happen to be. So I think altogether, it's not really a very sensible strategy that they're pursuing, but it's the only strategy that makes sense here from the point of view of gay activists is that they want to desensitize people to the idea that there's anything wrong with homosexual conduct. I mean, I think that's the only thing at the end of the day that makes sense of what they have done and what they continue to do.
Former Governor Schwarzenegger vetoed a similar bill in 2006. Governor Jerry Brown has it sitting on his desk. From what you know of the current governor in California, what do you think he's going to do with it?
Well, I think I'd be astonished if he didn't sign it. Honestly, I'd be astonished if he didn't sign it. And I think that the people of California need to be aware that this is coming down the pike, that they will not be notified, that this will not count as sex ed, okay? So it will just be part of the regular curriculum. So this is part of what children are going to be taught on a routine basis. My children are now old enough that they're not in school in California anymore, but if they were still in school, this would be an argument for getting them out of the public schools if possible, and certainly monitoring what goes on in the classroom very, very closely. And speaking of monitoring, I think there's one thing people might be interested to know, that I'm told, according to the California Family Council, the only Republican who voted yes for this bill happens to be a guy who is campaigning to be mayor of San Diego. And I think that is something that people really ought to be aware of, right? If we're going to not censor information, if we're going to do full disclosure, the one and only Republican who voted for this is campaigning for mayor of San Diego. And I certainly hope that the voters of San Diego will keep that in mind when they go to the polls.
Are you concerned at all about this going from what the bill purports to be, a simple inclusion of people they say have been left out of the history lessons, to revisionism? About 30 seconds here.
Well, I think it already is an exercise in revisionism, because whenever you're teaching history, you're making a decision about what is significant to include, what's important to include. And so every day you spend talking about Harvey Milk is one day you spend less, is one day less that you spend talking about Padre Serra, who actually founded the state of California, or one day less that you spend talking about Charles Fremont and all of the other great pioneers of the whole state of California, not simply left-wing political sexual activists. So I think even if they don't change the message, which I imagine that it will be open promotion, you know, within about 5 minutes. Even if they didn't do that, the very choice of what you're going to talk about conveys what you think is significant, and that is already a message. And so revisionism, Todd, is the whole point of this exercise.
With only 30 seconds, what is the broader goal here on the part of gay activists in California? 30 seconds, Jennifer.
Well, I think the goal, the broadest goal of the of gay activists in California and nationwide is to move from not simply tolerance of homosexual conduct in private, but the open and active celebration of gay as good. I think that is their goal. They've said it many times, and I think this is a pretty clear evidence that, that's what they're aiming for. They don't want people to criticize what they do sexually, but they also don't want people to criticize what they do politically. And so those things, they're doing their very best to make the political, to make the personal as political as possible so that they can get done what they want to get done, because that intimidates people from saying, no, I don't like it. I don't think this is good public policy. If you say that against anything in the gay agenda, then people will say, well, you're a hater, you hate people, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, which certainly this interview will provoke people to say, you know, that I hate people. But the idea here simply is that this is bad public policy, and what the gay rights movement will be able to do, what they want to be able to do, is to not face any criticism of public policy that they propose. And so branding everybody a hater who opposes them is a way of not having to ever deal with any substantive issues, which we've already covered quite a few substantive problems with this bill.
Folks, check out the blog and the website for the Ruth Institute. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, look for Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse and the Ruth Institute. She is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, thank you.
Thanks.
When we come back, we've got hour two of Issues Etc. straight ahead. The church is remembering a big one from the Old Testament. One of those prophets, you can find him right in the very center of your Old Testament, Isaiah, 66 long chapters, very important stuff, sometimes called the evangelist of the Old Testament, the fifth gospel. Isaiah is remembered by the church. We'll be doing the same with Dr. Andrew Bartelt in hour two of Issues Etc. this Wednesday afternoon, July the 6th.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.